Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and the very end of the psalm, which we've sung. Hear God's word once again. Let my cry come before you, O Lord, give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you, deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. May God be pleased to bless to us his word. In Reformed circles, we have theoretically a very high view of preaching. And I say theoretically because I think often it is the case that practically we do not have as high a view of preaching as set forth in theory and in our theology. On one hand, we take up the mantle of the fundamentalists, saying that the most profound encounters individuals may have with God is one-on-one. And on the other hand, there are those in Reformed circles who are taking up the mantle of the sacramentalist and saying we need to be celebrating communion more frequently because therein we find revival in the church. And I would say to you men, the proper Reformed perspective is simply that which we have learned, that there is indeed a high priority on the preaching of God's word. And of course you would expect me to say that. There is a high priority on the preaching of God's word, and in our text today, we discover that it is in and through God's word that God himself will seek us, seek you to save your soul, and seek you to engender great praise within your heart. And so, I'm setting before you this idea and this principal thought that you ought to be eager to learn to preach the Word of God and to improve in the preaching of God's Word and expect that God will seek His people through that Word to save them and to engender great praise within them. I think that's where our psalm portion is taking us this morning. And as we look at the psalmist at the end of Psalm 119 and verse 169, he's crying out to God, and we ought to, you ought to cry out to God and to seek his face in a similar way. Let me cry, let my cry come before you, O Lord. And in 170, let my supplication come before you. The cry here is the cry of joy and the cry of exaltation. It is the cry of the one who knows God and who seeks the Lord, you see, in the text. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. The Lord is God. And this is the confession of the ancient Israelite, and certainly this is the confession of the Christian. Jesus is Lord. He is the one with whom we have to do. And so the psalmist is repairing to him. Let my supplication come before you. This is more the idea of the prayer in time of need and the seeking of God because of special need. And as the psalmist seeks the Lord, he does so in accordance with the Word of God. Look at the text again. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your Word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word, on the basis of the truths that are found in your word. Come to me in and through your word. I think that's the desire of the psalmist. And as the word of God is a standard by which we are to live and by which God himself acts, and we know this is true, that God acts in accordance with what he has given in his word as his many promises and as his covenant oaths. And he will act in accordance with those words. And so the psalmist pleads with God, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplications come before you. Deliver me according to your word. And so it is that God will act in and through his word to answer the plea and the supplication of the psalmist. And so it is with each one of us. But here is the amazing thing to me in this particular psalm portion, that Jesus Christ, the Lord, promises to seek those who are seeking him in and through this very word. Look at what the psalmist says. Verse 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord. And in the Hebrew poetry here, the parallel to this is in verse 176. I have gone astray, like a lost sheep, seek your servant. I'm the one who has gone astray, and I am saying to you, Lord, seek me. And isn't this in keeping with how God and how our Lord Jesus Christ works? When our Lord sat by the well with the woman, he said to the woman, God the Father seeks worshipers. This is what he's about. True worshipers indeed, but he is about seeking worshipers. And when the Lord Jesus Christ looked up into the sycamore tree and said to Zacchaeus, come down, and the multitudes and the scribes and the Pharisees especially grumbled a little bit. Do you remember the response of our Lord? He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And this is the emphasis in our text, that the psalmist cries out to God and says, answer me according to your word and seek me. And God's posture is to seek those who seek him through his word, to use his word as an instrumentality to meet individuals and to close with them and to confront them and to have a close encounter with them, with you and me, in and through his word. What an amazing thing this is. And we understand this is the case as we look at individuals like Lydia sitting by the riverside. And what was taking place? Well, Lydia was listening. She was what? She was a seeker. We would call her one of those who were kind of on the outside. She was an individual who was a God-fearer, a seeker. And as she was coming to hear the Word of God and listening, what does the Scripture tell us? The Lord in heaven, Jesus Christ, sitting in heaven, reaches down and opens her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And I think the truth is that as the psalmist and as we commit ourselves to seek God in and through his word, God in a similar fashion, commits himself to seek us in and through his word. And he will seek us out in and through his word for the purposes of salvation. Look again at our text. 173. Let your hand be ready to help me. To help me with reference to my troubles and to save me is the emphasis. Verse 147, I long for your salvation, O Lord. What will God do? He will effect his salvation in and through his word. Verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. And surely it is, once again, that God will seek out those seeking him in and through his word. Calvin, in this text, wrestles with David and the idea of salvation and says perhaps it is that this has reference to the incident with David and Bathsheba, how David sinned before God. And he not only sinned in that adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, but he sinned in having Uriah the Hittite murdered. And so it was a double sin and a triple sin, as there was lust in his heart and he considered himself a lost sheep. And you remember what happened? In the narrative in Samuel, it says, God sent Nathan. And what did Nathan do? Nathan told a little parable to David, and David was struck to the heart and confessed his sin, and we find part of that confession in Psalm 51 as David pours out his heart to God and seeks for mercy, and he is concerned with regard to his status before God. He considers himself a lost sheep, and he says to God, seek me, O God, and come to me. And how is it that that will come about? Again, it is in and through God's word, as Nathan brought that word to David, and God was seeking out David through that word. How amazing! And when we open, when you open the Bible and ply the pages of the Word of God and study the Word of God and seek the face of God in and through his word, isn't it true that part of what's taking place is that God, the Lord, even Jesus Christ sitting on his throne in heaven, is seeking you out in and through that word to bring to you a great salvation and to confirm in your heart the great salvation which he wrought on that cross so long ago. And not only so, but the psalmist is not stopping here, because as you seek the Lord in and through his word, and he seeks you in and through this word to bring to you salvation, he will also raise in your heart a song of praise to God. Look again at the text, 171. My lips utter praise. There is joy and thanksgiving on the heart of the psalmist. And also in 172, let my tongue sing of your word. And the song that emanates from the heart is on the lips and on the tongue. And in verse 175, let my soul live that I may praise you. And of course, David was anxious that his life might be spared and his life continued so that he might go up to the holy place of God and sing his praises. And we ought to have the same disposition in our hearts, where we hunger for the Word of God and the salvation of God, so that we may go up into His tabernacle and His temple and sing His praises. And so God will raise in our hearts a song of praise. Psalm 122, verse 25 says, From you comes my praise in the great assembly. And when we sing Psalm 22, we sing those great words. And those of us who love the Psalms and think we ought to be singing them more, reflect on the fact that God gives us those very words to sing as His praise, that His praise comes actually from Him in word on the page and in the heart that desires to lift the voice and trip the tongue and let the lips sing forth those words of praise. And so here we have it, it seems to me. God will use His word in our lives to seek us out, to seek you out, to bring to you salvation, and to lift your hearts in praise. And He will do this preeminently. I really believe this is the case in the congregation. When you think about it, and you think about the law of God and the Word of God, where did the people of old hear the law of God and the Word of God? Let's look at the psalm again just for a moment. Give me understanding according to your word. Deliver me according to your word. For you teach me your statutes. For all your commandments are righteousness. For I have chosen your precepts, and your law is my delight. And let your ordinances help me, for I do not forget your commands. Where did they hear those commands and those words? Well, after this psalm was penned, it was in the synagogue, because the people didn't have books like this to carry around. And they were taught the Word of God by the scribes and the Levites. And they heard the Word of God in the synagogue. And the psalmist is saying, when you hear the Word of God and you seek God according to His Word, God will seek you to save you and to raise joy and praise in your heart. And I submit to you, friends, that it's the same thing in the congregation today, that as the congregation hears the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and you preach the Word of God, God commits Himself to seek those who are in the congregation to save them and to raise praise in their hearts. And so my encouragement to you is to learn to preach the Word of God and to improve in the preaching of the Word of God and make it a lifelong task to grow in the preaching of the Word of God in the congregation. Because God will use His Word and He will seek out men and women in the congregation through His Word, and He will save their souls. And He will give them a heart to praise Him in the congregation and in the world. No, I don't think we have to go to the fundamentalist and seek out a better way of people closing with Christ. And I don't think we have to go to the sacramentalist and seek out a better way for people to close with Christ. No, we have the better way here in this Word. And so I encourage you once again, learn to preach the Word of God. Progress in the preaching of the Word of God. Make it a lifelong task to improve in the preaching of the Word of God. Because, friends, here is God's commitment, taken from the psalmist. God's commitment is to seek out men and women through His Word, to save them through His Word, and to bring a heart of joy to men and women through the instrumentality of His very Word. May we understand it, and may we work in our hearts and in our labors in the seminary to see it come to fruition, as God is pleased, you see, to grant the blessing that He promises in His Word. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. We are feeble in all of our efforts, and most of all myself. Grant, O God, that Your grace would be abundant upon us. Grant that we would take Your Word seriously, not only theoretically, but practically. And that we would see how You commit Yourself to seek us, the likes of us, in and through Your Word, to save us, and to give us joy, and to cause us to sing Your praise. You did these things of old, and surely Your commitment still stands. And so we pray, Father, that You would make us able ministers of Your Word in the congregation, to preach and to teach and to read, that men might be met by You and saved by You and rejoice in You. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.